Okay, so we're learning the sugya. We're going to finish it today. Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach. On Daf Yud Tes on the base. We write at the bottom. The last thing we saw was that Palti ben Laish, in one place is called Palti, and another place is called Paltiel. So the Gemara says actually his name was Palti. Paltiel means HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Poilet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu extracted him, as it were, from Avera. And this we mentioned yesterday, how so? He stuck a sword between him and Michal and said, nobody must remove this. And that way he was spared from Avera. So we're up to the Gemara on the fourth bottom line and Daf Yud Tes on the base. The Gemara just goes through a little bit in the Psukim with regard to Palti ben Laish. There is, by the way, a Tosfos. Maybe we should see the Tosfos on Daf Yud Tes on the base. It's the last Tosfos on the Yomad. It's a fascinating Tosfos. If you remember yesterday, we saw perhaps a rather strange looking Gemara. The Gemara quoted a Pasuk in which it said that Yaakov Avinu, as it were, redeemed Avraham Avinu. So what does that mean, that Yaakov redeemed Avraham? So the Gemara says, from Tzar Gidol Bonim, Yaakov, as it were, took the oil, the yoke, the brunt of the Tzar Gidol Bonim. So which Tzar Gidol Bonim is being referred to? So Rashi said, it's the Toirach of the Shvatim. Ultimately, Yaakov was the builder of Klal Yisrael. The responsibility of bringing up the 12 tribes fell on the shoulders of Yaakov Avinu, and that's what it means that he redeemed Avram. He was responsible for this Tzar Gidol Bonim. So look at the last Tosfos on the Omud. Dibu Hamaschil Shepodoi. Shepodoi mitzar Gidol Bonim Pirish Bekuntras. Tosfos quotes Rashi as saying, Bitzar Pirish Bekuntras Gidul Yud Beis Shvatim. The Tzar Gidol Bonim that's being referred to is the raising and the educating of the 12 Shvatim. V'loi Nahira. Says Tosfos, this does not appear correct to me. I would not learn that the Tzar Gidol Bonim being referred to over here is the Yud Beis Shvatim. Why? Choda, firstly, De'enoi Tzar. Why is that called Tzar? Having to bring up the 12 Shvatim. Elo Simcha, it's a very big Simcha. Kedomrinon Gaba Oyved Edoim Shebirchoi Hashem Babonim Bishar Ha'oroin Shahoya Babesoi. There was somebody recorded in the Novi called Edoim, Oyved Edoim Hagiti, I think his name was, and he was fortunate enough to house the Oroin for whatever reason, and as a Zuchus, that the Oroin resided in his home for a while, it says he had a blessing of an enormous family. If I'm not mistaken, the Pasuk says that he had 60 children, whether that's literal or not, but it's certainly he has a very large family. Well, if having a large family, according to Rashi, is an inyan of Tzar, Gidol, Bonim, and a Teirach, then where's the bracha over here? So you clearly see that if Oved Edoim was given his bracha of 60 children, then that's not a Tzar, that's a Simcha. So how can Rashi say the fact that Yaakovinu had 12 children, that's a Tzar? Number one, void the Avram Hoyuloi Bonim Mikturo. Don't think that Avram Avinu didn't have children. Avram Avinu, it's true, only had Yitzchok from his wife Sarah. But let's not forget that from Hogan Keturah, the Pasuk says he has many, many, many children. So if, according to Rashi, having several children is considered a tsar, then Avram Avinu also went through that. So two questions that Tosfos therefore rejects Rashi for. Number one, how can having a very large family be considered a tsar? It's a simcha. Number two, even if it is, but Yaakov Avinu also had a large family. So in what way did Yaakov had a more difficult time than Avram? Says Tosfos, v'tzorich loima, therefore we have to learn an alternative pshat. When it says over here that he redeemed Avram, meaning that he had a more difficult life than Avram, it's not referring to the very fact that he had children, but it's a tsar shel Yosef ve'echov Vegilgul Yeridas Mitzrayim. That's what it means. It's our Gidlbon. In fact, they had a very difficult time. Now, to be honest, Avram didn't have an easy time with his son Yishmael either. But for whatever reason, this seems to apparently eclipse that with Yosef and the brothers and the whole story of Mitzrayim. That is the Tsar Gidl Bonim, says Tosfos, that the Gemara is referring to. So a very fascinating Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Okay, back into the Gemara. That was just a side point, although a very important point. Have a look at the Gemara. We're now on the fourth bottom line. So at this stage in the story, where are we up to? Palti ben Laish has been given his wife, Michal, but there is a serious concern that in fact she is not his wife. She is actually Dovid HaMelech's wife. And because of that, Palti ben Laish will not allow himself to be with her. He can't be with her because as far as he's concerned, there's a very high chance that in fact she might be married to Dovid HaMelech, and that's why he stuck the sword in between them. So the Gemara asks a question on the fourth bottom line. Yerub Larry.
Is there any connection to a Mida Keneged Mida that David went through this because he gave away his original Shidduch Basheva to the guy who helped him, cut off Goliath's head? Hashem was upset that he gave away. Now there's a Mida Keneged Mida. He's not getting the Shidduch to belong. You know what I'm saying? Is there any connection there at all?
I don't know.
Do you see what I'm saying, Lord? Do you see?
The Hoksiv. Vayelech ito isha, quote unquote. It says, Vayelech ito, and he went with her, who's he? Palti, went with her, isha, her husband. So how can you tell me that Palti ben Laish was never with Michal? Means he never consecrated their marriage. But here you have in the Pasuk that Palti ben Laish is described as her husband. Well, you wouldn't possibly call him her husband if, indeed, the sword was stuck in between them and they were never together. Says the Gemara, okay. Shena'ase lo ke'isha. You're right. It doesn't mean that he was actually the husband, literally. Shena'ase lo ke'isha. It means Palti, who was to her as if a husband, but actually, in reality, it was not a husband at all. Okay, so we've managed to avoid that kasha, but there's another pasuk. V'hoksiv, doesn't it say later on, holoich uboiche al hamitzvah? No, sorry, holoich uboiche. Is that right, Rabbi Yosef?
Holoich
uboiche. It says in the pasuk that they were holoich uboiche. So how do they explain this question and answer, Rabbi Yosef?
The question is, why was he crying if there was no relationship, intimate relationship between them? And the answer, al ha-mitzvah, the also mene that he was losing the mitzvah of saving himself from sin.
Why was he losing that mitzvah?
Well, because he wasn't going to live with her any longer. He was handing her over to Dovid HaMelech. I think this is the story in Shmuel HaMelech.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay. So it says that he was crying when he handed her back. Why was he crying? If indeed he viewed her right from the outset as not being his wife, there's nothing to cry about. The answer is the very fact that he managed to control himself all of these years was a tremendous mitzvah, as the Gemara is going to discuss coming up, and he was now losing that mitzvah. That's what he was crying about, not about losing his wife. She was never his wife. Says the Gemara again, "Bachsev holoichu bochay," quote unquote. The answer is, you're right. Al hamitzvah da'ozil minei. Actually, he was crying not about losing his wife, because she wasn't his wife, but about losing the mitzvah. This tremendous mitzvah of avoiding aveira, which, by the way, you see in this Gemara that when a person has the opportunity to be over an aveira and he avoids it, that's called a mitzvah. Otherwise, what does that mean? He was crying about losing a mitzvah. There was no mitzvah. There was just an avoidance of an aveira. That's the same thing. So the fact that he had this tremendous opportunity, which he was makayim to the full, of not being over an aveira, was now being taken away from him, and that's why he was crying. Now, the pasuk continues, and it says, Ad בחורים שנעשו שניהם כבחורים שלא יתואמו טעם ביה. A bachur is somebody who's unmarried, a bachelor. So the Torah, the Novi there, is referring to Palti ben Laiosh as it were as being bachurim, in as much shelo itoamu tam bia, but they never, as it were, tasted the taste of bia, because all of these years Palti ben Laiosh was able to control himself and not have relations with Michal. Now the Gemara says a phenomenal statement. Omer Rabbi Yechon. Toikvoi shel Yosef and the Sonusoi shel Boyaz. Toikvoi shel Boyaz and the Sonusoi shel Palti ben Laiosh. So here we are comparing three tzaddikim. We are comparing Boyaz, Yosef, a tzaddik, and Palti ben Laiosh. What is the common denominator between the three? Well, Yosef HaTzadik, obviously we know, he also controlled himself and overcame the Nisoyen with Eishes Potiphar. Palti ben Laiosh, as I just mentioned, also controlled himself from sin all these years with Michal. And what about Boaz? So if you look, we'll see in a second, Boaz also had this Nisoyen initially with Rus, as we'll explain in a moment. And we're now comparing and we're working out who is the greater of them all. So the Gemara says, Toikvoi shel Yosef. The strong point of Yosef is the Amvenusoi, is the weak one of Boaz. Meaning, what was a huge Nisoyen for Yosef HaTzadik, and of course he is praised in Chazal for passing the Nisoyen, but that was, as it were, small compared to what Boaz did. And Toikvoi shel Boaz, what was big for Boaz, is Amvasanusa Shal Palti ben Laish. That's small compared to Palti ben Laish. Now, what is this referring to? We'll see in a moment. First, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Toikvoi shall Yosef Amvasanusa Shal Boyaz. Dovar Godoil shall Yosef. That which was a very big issue with regard to Yosef is, says Rashi, is kedavar kal v'kotan shebaboyas. So Rashi says that that which was a great nisoyin for Yosef was really the small compared to boyas. Now, what does the word toikif mean? What does the word amvasanusa mean? So Rashi says toikif, the word toikif, quote unquote, is dovar godel, means it's a very great matter, v'chomur. And it is extremely serious, v'yesh lo shame, and it has a serious shame about it. Anova, what does anova mean? Anova means dova she'ein lo shame, something that you wouldn't know about. Sha'odom oise lefi tumoi, person does on the quiet and is not so famous. So what Yosef HaTzadik did was very famous. It's very prominent. Why is it prominent? Because the Torah writes a whole parasha about it. But really, if you compare that to what Boaz achieved a very great thing, and yet his was not made such a fuss about. It was like, as it were, small, not so prominent. So what is that referring to? So the Gemara now explains. On the second bottom line, Toik Foishel Yosef is Amvasanusoi Shel Boaz. Why? What happened? The Ksiv, because it says, Vayehi Bachatzi Halayla. If you remember the story with Boaz and Rus, it's a very complicated and profound story, but Rus, as it were, waited at the foot of the bed of Boaz. At the time, they were not married. If they were not married, then technically he should not have relations with her until such point that he marries her or does yibum with her. So, says the Pasuk, Vayehi b'chatzi alayla, and it was in the middle of the night, Vayecharad ho'ish, and the man, that's Boaz, had a fright. Because you remember, he woke up, and all of a sudden, who does he see at the bottom of his bed? Rus. And then the Navi uses a strange word, vayilofes. What does that mean, vayilofes? Says the Gemara, my vayilofes. What does this word mean? Omarav shenasu besoroi keroshe liftois. His bosar became hard. In other words, he had a taiva to have relations with Rus, says Rashi. The last Rashi, Kiroshe Liftois Niskashe, Ba'afal Piken, Kovash Yitzroi. Nonetheless, he was Kovash his Yitzah. He did not at that point have relations with her. Ba'afal Pi Shepnuya Hoiso. Even though she was unmarried. So if she was unmarried, the Aveira would have been far less severe than, for example, an Eishes Ish. To have relations with an Eishes Ish is obviously an Issa Deiraisa. To have relations with a Pnuya, as long as you don't marry her, is not an Issa Deiraisa, but it's still an Issa, at least the Drabono. So when he was being Kovish his Yetzer, what was he being Kovish his Yetzer for? He was being Kovish his Yetzer against something which would have been, at worst, an Issa Drabono, number one. Number two, Ve'imoi b'mito. Number two, she was actually with him in the mito, in his bed. And nonetheless, he was able to overcome that nisayon. So why is that greater than Yosef HaTzadik, says Rashi? Avol Yosef, number one, Eishes Ish Hoiso. Eishes Potiphar was a married woman. Therefore, because it was a larger scale Aveira, it's therefore easier to fight against. As we all know, the Yetzer Hara can much more easily trip us up with a small Aveira, because he convinces us it's not so bad. So on occasion, what is the greater Avodas Hashem? To overcome an Issa Drabonon or to overcome an Issa Deiraisa? And the answer is to overcome an Issa Drabonon. Because to overcome an Issa Deiraisa, you have right staring you in the face this very, very severe Aveira. So it's easier to contend with. But if you're facing, quote unquote, only an Issa Drabonon, there you need to fight much harder because the Yetzer Hara is convincing you, no, it's not so bad. So therefore, Boaz had two things working against him. Number one, Rus was not a married woman. She was a Pnuya. Well, that therefore makes the Nisoyan all that harder. Number two, she was right there with him in the mito. So again, that also makes the Nisoyan much harder. As opposed to Yosef, what was his Nisoyan? Firstly, it was with Eishes Potiphar. She was a married woman. And if she was a married woman, therefore that makes it less of a Nisoyan, because the Yetzer Hara cannot possibly convince Yosef that it's only a Pnuya, it's not. Says Rashi, Aval Yosef, Eishes Ish Yosef. In the case of Yosef, she was an Eishes Ish, number one. And number two, Ve'eino Imoy b'mito. And so too, she was not with him in the mito. So Yosef's Nisoyon, although definitely a hard Nisoyon, but he had two things working in his favor, as opposed to Boaz, who had two things working against him. What were the two things working in Yosef HaTzadik's favor? Number one, she was an Eishes Ish. That's a much more serious Issa, so it's easy to contend with. Number two, she was not together with him in the bed. And that's what it means, that the great Nisoyan of Yosef, well, that's like small stuff for Boaz, because Boaz Nisoyan was much, much, much greater.
Rabbi?
There's the, yeah.
Quick question. Are two Goyim that get married is considered an Eishes Ish?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Says the Gemara on the top line. Now, we've compared Yosef to Boaz. We've said Boaz is in fact greater. But Palti ben Laish is greater still. Toikfoy shel Boaz is anvesanuso shel Palti ben Laish kada omron. Why? Why is Palti ben Laish's avodas Hashem, the fact that he overcame the Nisoyan, why is that greater? So look at the top Rashi. Toikvei shel boyaz amvasanusa shel palti deilu boyaz choda lailo. How long did this nisoyen last? It was only one night. So Boaz, albeit a tremendous nisoyen, was able to overcome it one night. Upalti shonim rabois. But Palti was able to overcome this for many, many, many years. Okay, so therefore in the hierarchy, it turns out you have Yosef. Higher up is Boaz, and higher up still is Palti ben Laish, says the Gemara. Let's try and reach the Mishnah Mitzvah. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, with a famous pasuk in Mishlei, Mai Dixiv, Rabois, Bonois, Osu, Choyel, Va'at, Olis, Al Kulono. So it says, Rabois, Bonois, Osu, Choyel. Many daughters, obviously, is referring to Tzadikim, have Osu, Choyel, have done great things, but Va'at, Olis, Al Kulono. But there's one who's greater than everybody. Who's that referring to? So Rabois, Bonois, Osu, Choyel, Ze Yosef, Uboyaz. They are these Bonois, the great Tzadikim, who have Osu, Choyel, have done a great thing. So who is the one, Va'at Olis al Kulono, quote unquote? Who is the one who is the greatest of them all? Ze Palti ben Laish. So you see that Palti ben Laish is considered in the eyes of a Chazal to be a tremendous, tremendous Tzadik, even bigger than Yosef HaTzadik and Boaz. And that's the one being referred to when it says, Va'at Olis al Kulono. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Omer Rav Yonason. We have another pasuk. It's also there. Om Maidiksev Sheker Hachein VeHevel HaYoifi. Sheker Hachein Ze Yosef VeHevel HaYoifi Ze Boaz Yiras Hashem Hisis Alol Ze Palti Ben Laish. So Yosef was able to say Sheker Hachein. I'm not interested in Eishes Potiphar. Boaz was able to say, Hevel HaYofi, I'm not interested in the Yofi of Rus. But Yiras Hashem, Isis Adol, who is the one ultimately who is described to have tremendous Yiras Hashem? Again, that's Palti ben Laish. So once again, you see how Chazal view the tremendous greatness of Palti ben Laish.
I feel bad a little bit because Yosef's the one that gets the credit throughout history as always being the ideal person who ran away from this Avera.
His ultimately is right. It's mentioned in the Torah, not in the Navi. You're right. This is a tremendous chiddush. We are always understanding that Yosef is, as it were, the classic example of somebody who's Omer ben Nisoyen. And yet it would seem to our Gemara that, although he was, but he was actually eclipsed by Boaz, who in turn was eclipsed by Palti ben Laish. And Yiras Hashem Hisisalol and Va'at Olisal Kulono is referring not to Yosef, it's referring to Palti ben Laish. You're right.
But I think the reason is not because Yosef was greater than Palti, but most of us have the Nisayon of Yosef and not Palti, where we have a particular incident that comes our way and we have to go over it one time. So it's like he's the icon of the example of how to overcome this particular rush that comes to you. Very few people have this long-term, you know, in a Nisayon like that. So maybe that's the reason, hypothetically, that Yosef is the icon for that, isn't he?
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Says the Gemara. Dova Acher. Now we have an alternative pshat. We were just now translating the pasuk of Sheker Achein Hevel HaYofi, Yiras Hashem Hisisalo, referring to Yosef, Boaz, and then Palti. So now we're moving off topic, because the Gemara says that maybe this pasuk is actually referring to other great tzaddikim. Dover Acher, Sheker Achein Ze Doiroi Shel Moshe. We'll see in a moment in Rashi. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's generation. Behevel Ayoifi, Ze Doiroi Shel Chizkio. Sorry, did I miss out? Ze Doiroi Shel Yehoshua. Yiras Hashem, he says, Alo, Ze Doiroi Shel Chizkio. So according to this particular line, we are not comparing Yosef, Boaz, and Palti. We're actually comparing Moshe, Yeshua, and Chizkiah. Now, in what way were they comparable? Let's have a look at Rashi on the second line. Doiroi shel Moshe v'Yehoshua osku b'toiro harbe. Undoubtedly, they toiled in Torah and they were Isaac in Torah. But the doiroi shel Chizkiyahu yoser mehem. But the doir of Chizkiyahu, as is famously described in Chazal, that particular generation were Isaac and Torah even more. How do I know? Could exceed it's a pasuk in the Novi. V'choyvel oil mipnei shemen. V'omrinon b'chelek choyvel oil shel sancheirev mipnei shamnoi shel chizkiyo. Shohoyodoylek b'bottom midrashoy. So what's the story? So those who have learned Novi will know Sancheirev was the great army general and he was plundering all before him, conquering right, left, and center. He now turns to Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael and is looking to conquer them as well. So this is a very, very important story because it has a message which is the eternal message of Klal Yisrael. Chizkiyahu is the king of Klal Yisrael and they are on the verge of being attacked by Sancheirev and his mighty army. So what is our battle story? What is our battle tactic? Our battle tactic is you light the shemen. Which shemen? It says that Chizkiyahu HaMelech lit the oil candles in all the Bote Midrashes, in every shul, and made sure that there was Limud Torah up and down the country. That's how we fight back. So this terrible voice, unfortunately, that we hear here in Eretz Yisrael, that there shouldn't be Bochrim learning in Yeshiva, etc., etc., unfortunately, I've never learned this Rashi in Sanhedrin. The Chizkiyahu HaMelech says that the way that we ensure that we are victorious in war is that you fill the Bote Midrashim and you light that oil, which means obviously even at night they are learning. Rashi continues and he says, Ad Shebodku Midon Va'ad Be'er Sheva. They checked up and down the country from Don, which is right in the north, Ad Be'er Sheva, which is right in the south, V'loy Motsui Am Ha'aretz. And they did not find a single Am Ha'aretz. Chazal famously said that even the children were experts in the most intricate halacha of Taharis. Now, I'll tell you a beautiful, beautiful story, but I don't want to run out of time. So let's first just go back into the Gemara. So you see that the Gemara is telling you that what? That whilst they did learn Torah, obviously in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua, but that was eclipsed by Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He had all of Klal Yisrael learning, even this youngest child, up and down the country, and that's how they were ultimately victorious in the war. By the way, Rashi does not fill you in the rest of the story. What eventually happened? Klal Yisrael were victorious without having to shoot a single bullet. It says, a malach came, we make mention of this, by the way, on Seder night, Vayhi b'chatzi alayla, a malach came and smote the entire army of Sancheirev, all of them were wiped out. Not a bullet was fired. That is the Koyach HaTorah. Actually, I have two beautiful stories to tell you, but let's make sure we first finish the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Dover Acher, Sheker Achein Ze Doirei Shel Moshe V'Yeshua, V'Hevel HaYofi Ze Doirei Shel Chizkiyah. But apparently, according to this other version, that was eclipsed. Yiras Hashem, he says, Alo Zedoyre Shol Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rabbi Eloi, because apparently in Rabbi Yehuda Ben Eloi's generation, they were learning even more. Why was that more special? Says the Gemara, Omru Allah Bar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rabbi Eloi, Shayushisho Talmidim Miskasin Betalas Achas, for Iskin Betayra. There were six people who would all cover themselves in one beged, Rashi says, Aniim Hoyu, and that's why they were greater. They were greater because in that generation, not only were they were learning through abject poverty, such that six people, as it were, had to share one clothing. Okay, so let me tell you two beautiful stories. We'll try and get this in 6 minutes and 31 seconds. One story, I heard this live in Ramat Bet Shemesh Aleph. There was a Rav called Rav Shloima Zafrani, a Sfaradi Rav. And he said that he learned in Ponovich during the 1967 war. At those times, obviously the communication technology was not like it was today. And in order to follow the war news, what was happening. Everybody was running out of the Beis HaMedrash, going into their rooms, turning on their old-fashioned transistor radio to hear the latest updates on the battle. And you can imagine this caused a great weakening of the Torah learning because everybody was going in and out to find out the news. So they called in Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, to give a shmooze in the yeshiva in order to be mechazik the bochrim. So Rabbi Yankel Galinsky has a tremendous sense of humor. So he said, I heard, this is what Rabbi Shlomo Zafrani said, he said, I was there. He said, I've heard that bochrim are running out to hear the latest news, and therefore it's causing a weakening of learning. He says, you know, I want to tell you how absurd this is. Imagine you go now, this moment, to the battlefront. And right there on the battlefront, there's two great generals, and they've come to the most pivotal moment in the whole war. And they've got to make this major decision, are we now going to bomb the enemy, or we're not going to bomb the enemy? And they're weighing up the pros and the cons, and the whole army are waiting with bated breath, and all the world around are all waiting with terrible tension. What's going to happen? Are they going to bomb the enemy? They're not going to bomb the enemy. What's going to happen? And everybody is waiting there, chewing off their fingernails, waiting to hear the final decision. And these two generals are weighing up the decision, and they cannot come to a final plan. So one of them says, you know what? I've got a great idea. You know what we should do? Let's turn on the radio, let's listen to the news, and we'll hear then whether they bombed the enemy or didn't bomb the enemy. Said one general to the other, are you crazy? What do you mean, let's turn on the news to hear what happened? We're making the news. Whatever we decide, that is in fact what's being broadcast on the news. It's totally absurd to turn on the radio to hear the news when in fact whatever we do is making the news. So Rabbi Yankel Galinsky told the Bochrim, that's exactly the same over here. Here you are learning in the Ponovitch Beis HaMedrash, and you're going out to the Beis HaMedrash to turn on the radio to hear the news. You are making the news in the Beis HaMedrash. Because if you'd only learn Bahasmada, then that will bring about a Hatzlacha for Klal Yisrael. So it's absurd to close the Gemara and to hear what's going on in the news, when in fact right there in the Beis HaMedrash, you're making the news. Because that's always been the Kleach of Klal Yisrael. That's how we are victorious in battle. How so? By learning Torah. One final story. They came to Reb Chaim Briska. I once mentioned this in a parashashir. They came to Reb Chaim Briska and they said, there's terrible, terrible Bizoyan HaTorah. What's the Bizoyan HaTorah? The Reform movement have just put on a play. And what was their play? They're really mocking Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they had on stage the following scene. You had a whole army on one hand, and you have Klal Yisrael on the other side. And war was about to begin. All of a sudden, the Jewish army general announces, as we just read now on Shabbos, whoever has just got married should leave the army. Okay, so a whole bunch of soldiers leave the stage. Whoever has just bought a kerem has got to leave the army. Another bunch of soldiers leave the stage. And then whoever has just bought a house and hasn't consecrated it should leave the stage. And who have you got left on the stage? There's no soldiers left. There's the Vilna Goyen and the Shagas Aryeh, these two old Yidden with a cannon, and they're supposed to fight a battle against this mighty army of hundreds of thousands of soldiers. They came to Reb Chaim Briska, such a bizoyan atayra. How can they make fun of Gedolei Yisrael like this and portray them as these pathetic old men? So Reb Chaim Briska responded and said, Bizoyan, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful play. I think it's a fantastic play. He says, I only have one question on the play. My only question is, why did they stop in the middle of the story? Why didn't they continue the play? Yes, the only two people left on the stage were the Vilna Goyen and the Shagas Aryeh. But the final scene should have been yes, and one shot of the cannon and the war was all over. That was the final scene that they didn't play. But what they depicted is not a Bizoyan HaTorah. Who needs a massive army when you've got the Vilna Goyen and the Shagas Aryeh? It's not a Bizoyan, it's just a Chaval that they stopped in the middle of the story. Okay, so this has always been our story, and this was Chizkiyahu HaMelech's legacy. He lit that Shemen, made sure there was learning round the clock at day and at night. And that has always been the story of Klal Yisrael's war success. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. Those who join our Parsha Shir, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be resuming tonight a special Elul Shir, looking at why it is that we say the Perek of L'David Hashem Oiri V'Yishi. Okay, be well, everybody.
7:20.
7:20, Be'ezrat Hashem.